Did you know that Gazette print subscribers have full access to digital content at no extra cost? Activate your digital subscription now to enjoy the latest headlines, sports updates, and more at thegazette.com or through the Gazette mobile app. Read the page-by-page daily newspaper with the Green Gazette, perfect for on-the-go reading. Activate your subscription at thegazette.com/activate or call 319-398-8333.
Welcome to the Opinion Combination Podcast. I'm KJ Pilcher alongside Hall of Famer Dick Briggs. Getting down to our theme music a little bit here.
Yeah, that's right.
A catchy tune that our producer, Amir Prelberg, has to intro us in.
Loving it.
Of course, you got to be loving this time of year now. That we're at the end of July. We're getting into the championship season. Conference tournaments aplenty. This weekend, of course, girls had their conference tournament weekend last weekend. We'll touch on as well. They have regionals this Friday to determine the field. Regional duels are out. We had a few tournaments from last week, so a lot to cover here at the end of January. What a busy and fun time.
Right, and it's time because it's getting to be pressure time. Before, was everything kind of build up and do the best you can and, you know, work towards this time of the year, tournament time. So it's getting for the girls. They're there. Regionals and state coming up a week and a half, right?
Yep.
And then the boys, like you said, conference, then followed by regional duels. And do I have the schedule right? Regional duels, then district, and then state.
So, now, I can't really remember going back to the early 90s for me, but – when did you start kind of pulling back a little bit and tapering is not the right word, but just kind of getting into that mode for the postseason? Is it now or do you wait till after the conference meets? I guess before we used to have a little bit longer, but.
Well, you're always kind of. It's always in your mind and you're speaking a little bit of it throughout the season, you know, because you're battling for seeds, you know, individually in matches and stuff. So, you kind of, that's part of it, but you don't really gear up until that for me. Well, back in the 90s that you were saying, the MVC super meet wasn't 2 weeks before districts or whatever, or a week before district anyway. And then, so that was always kind of a high power tournament to have. I was always worried someone was going to get hurt, and they did. I had people that got hurt that didn't get to wrestle in districts in that tournament. Now things have changed a little bit because there's so many high power tournaments throughout the season that the super conference is just another one. So it's just, you know, it's kind of the focus. It's really changed a little bit. So I'd say right after the conference duels and that sort of thing, and get ready for the conference tournament in district and state.
So we got a lot to get to today on the prep side. And I know you have teeing it up with Briggs to help kind of split things up. But let's talk about last weekend really quick. I was at the Bean Smith duels at the Iowa City High. It used to just be the Clyde Bean duels, but they added – Brad Smith, all-time dual wins leader for his time at Lisbon and City High. And, of course, last year filling in at Clear Creek Amano, which that's actually a pertinent fact. Touch on in a little bit. But down there they have two pools of duels, and then they cross, pool champions cross and wrestle each other. Second places duel each other. A little different this year, I'll explain. But Pleasant Valley came away with a title. They beat Ankeny 37-28 in the championship duel. Of course, they won their pool. Really tough field, actually. Pleasant Valley opened with a 60-16 win over Cedar Rapids Xavier. They beat Clear Creek Amana 51-11. beat Prairie 50-16. And then, of course, we mentioned Ankeny, but West Hands got Pleasant Valley wrestling really well. City High actually wrestled well. There, you know, we watched them against Dubuque Hempstead a couple weeks ago, but Ankeny beat them to open the day 49-20, but then the Little Hawks went on a little bit of a run. They beat 2A number 12 Mount Vernon 40-32. They beat Newton 47-33, beat Kennedy 42-35, and then they beat Xavier in the final round 42-34. They didn't do outside of the championship duel. They just kind of wrestled a whole nother round because City High and Prairie were supposed to wrestle for third. They wrestled each other today, so they didn't want to wrestle again. You know, they didn't want to wrestle Saturday, Thursday, and then at the conference tournament next Saturday, so that'd be three times possibly in a whole week. So they changed the matchups a little bit. City High wrestled Xavier and won 42-34. There, Prairie wrestled Mount Vernon in the final round, but just kind of want to point out City High had a few guys go undefeated. One of them was Malachi Clement at 138. He was a two-time qualifier at Clear Creek Amana. Now with the Little Hawks, he's come a long way. Has beaten three ranked wrestlers, I believe, in the last 2 weeks. So really starting to kind of peak for the postseason. You can see the feature I did on him from the Clyde Bean, Brad Smith duels at thegazette.com. But Prairie looked pretty good in its pool competition. They beat Clear Creek Amana 39-28. They did fall to Xavier 39-32, but they rebounded. They lost to Pleasant Valley and Xavier, but won a tiebreaker to go for third. Connor Bestricki, he had a heck of a day. He went unbeaten, had some good wins against Dylan Schrock of Clear Creek Amana. Beat Blake Vanderhaar of Pleasant Valley 2-1 in tiebreaker. I think Vanderhaar might have beaten him at the Battle of Waterloo. And then he had a win over Jackson Anderson of Mount Vernon in the final round. So a couple good individual performances when you think of Clement. Kane Willie also went unbeaten for City High, and then Bestricki from Prairie. So that's a nice primer, I think, for those teams there as they get into, you know, the conference meets this week, and then many of those teams will be competing next Tuesday in the regional duels.
Right, and as far as the conference matchups, you have to honor the conference, so the only one they could take off the table was last Saturday's meet, because this, I'm sure this Thursday was probably a makeup meet from earlier I think it was in December when they got fogged out or whatever.
Okay. Possibly. Yeah.
And so they have to honor that conference meet and then the conference dual meet, and then the conference individual super meet is Saturday. So.
Right.
They can still wrestle two times in 3 days or whatever, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Want to head up to Anamosa. Anamosa had the Denny Christensen tournament, and boy, Decorah, mm-hmm. looking good. They're the number one ranked dual team in Class 2A. And they've got themselves a pretty good tournament team as well. The Vikings were really dominant up there. You know, they I think they had six champs. I'm just trying to look that up. Maybe seven champs.
Cy of six champs.
AKG. Six champs.
Yeah. That's pretty darn good. 292 points, team points to Denver, who was second, who had three champs. They were 176 and a half. So, you know, quite a big gap there. Decorah's got a team right now.
Yeah, and I mean, from top to bottom, they've got a balance where they're putting out a competitive guy at each weight, and then you've got some guys that can score some big points, like a William Fullhart, you know, like a Larson, Thomas Sexton, you know, and I know I'm leaving out a few, but they've got a makeup where they've got that balance for success in duels, and they also have some very strong point scorers and that same kind of balance for tournament team success.
Did Fullhart wrestle this weekend?
Yes.
Was he a champ?
No, he got second behind the kid from Denver, the highly ranked kid from Denver, White, Bowden White.
Bowden White, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay. Yep, they wrestled in the finals, and White, who's 44-0, won 14-4. So, yeah. But he does that a lot. One of the other performances, it was good to see Landon Bell, the MVC champ and state medalist. He's just 5-0. I think he's battled some injuries, but he came away with a title at 175 here. Hopefully he's got things ironed out and will be able to compete the rest of the way.
For Iowa City Liberty.
Yep.
Yep. And then Animals had a couple champs. Charlie Lindley at 113 and Hudson Scranton was a champ at 157.
He's had a heck of a year, and we've got two really good could be one of those situations where we see them in the finals between, you know, him and Mikey Ryan.
Yeah.
We see them wrestle already this season and could see it in the postseason as well.
Right. And I guess we should mention 46-0 Gavin Landers from Denver.
Right.
Pretty darn
yeah, easy. That's what's interesting about Denver. I mean, I don't know if they have the numbers that they used to have, but some of the guys that they have in their room, phenomenal. And that's two that we mentioned right there, in Gavin Landers at 138 and Bowden White. Certainly, two guys that you expect to see on Saturday night, right?
In the absolutely, yeah. And then Cody Koepke was a champ also at 215 for Denver, so can't leave him out.
Right. So, anything else from the Christensen?
Solon had a couple champs, and Anderson got Osgood at 106, and Lucas Fuhrbach. So bookends, this lightest weight and heaviest weight. So
that always kind of gets me when your two best wrestlers or most accomplished wrestlers right now are the lightest and heaviest. So, you know, they're not going together in the room.
Probably opposite corners.
Yeah. Right. Just want to, point out Albernette hosted a dual tournament. They went 4-0. They beat Burlington Notre Dame 43-30. Iowa Valley, that's one where, you know, Iowa Valley's got some good wrestlers. You know, when you look at the Hoyts, and Nolan Kriegel, Smith in that lineup, especially in those middle to upper weights. But Albernette won handily 66-12. They beat Dyke New Hartford 74-6. And then they beat Fenimore, Wisconsin, in the final round, 58-21. Albernette, they have Mount Vernon tonight. I'll be heading out there. So make sure to check the Gazette.com on my story from Alburnett this evening. I mentioned that West Branch won the John Byers Invitational at Midland in Wyoming. They were pretty dominant out there. They scored 268.5 points, had 9 finalists, got championships from Elliot Montgomery at 106, 113 pounder Ethan Humphrey, Teague Thomas at 120, Liam Exline at 126, Gabe DePorter 132, Cash Hatfield, who I believe is ranked fourth or fifth at 144, and then Keaton and Cooper Gates at 1565. So Bears had a good showing heading into the River Valley Conference tournament. And then you had the Bob Looters. Were you able to see how the Bob Looters kind of played out?
Well, Southeast Polk won it, 322.5 points. Lindmar was second, and then Iowa City with 217. Iowa City West tied with Assumption at 209. Get this, Southeast Polk had 5 champs, 1 runner-up, 3 thirds and 2 fourths. So 9, is that right? Let's see, 6, 8. And I don't know, is it 8 or 9 or whatever? 9, I think, in the top 4 of a 17-team tournament.
That's yeah, crazy.
Yeah, they're good. For Lindmar, Barrett Maris was a champ at 175 again. And then for Iowa City West, Diego Roberti, there's that name again.
Yeah.
Alexander Pierce and then Caden Stitt are my favorite heavyweight. That guy goes, man. I like him. Those three are all champs for Iowa City West.
Of course, Iowa City West, you know, they're going to be one of the favorites for the MVC tournament. You know, you've got Hempstead, Lindmar, now that they're getting closer to full strength. Could be fun down at Iowa City High on Saturday when those teams battle it out as well. I know we didn't have any local teams kind of in the field at Urbandale, but it's kind of one of those events on the calendar that always stands out. It's just a marquee event, really.
Particularly for 3A. It's a 3A tournament.
Yep. And the Ed Winger, West Des Moines Dowling coming away with a team title with 176 points, 20 more than runner-up Bettendorf. Waukee Northwest was third. Of course, we've seen Waukee Northwest here. They come to Benton and the Jayhawk. Same with Dallas Center Grimes, Fort Dodge. Rounded out the top 5. Waverly Shell Rock was 6, but really good field over there at the Winger. I'm sure that's a good primer for the programs.
Yeah, so there's 22 teams in it, and get this, AJ, KJ. Jeez, getting ahead of myself. So right. Weight by weight, listen to the ranked guys in the finals. So one or nearly. 106 had number 2 beat number 3, and 113, 1 beat 2. The number 1 ranked the guy wanted at 20. At 126, the number 2 132 pounder dropped down, and so we had 2 versus 2 at 126 from different weights. At 132 was the number 1 and number 3 ranked guy then, 1 beat 3, and then 38 2 beat 3, 44 3 beat 6. 50, third, number 3 won, 57, number 1 won, 65, number 5 won. That's probably our weakest weight there. 175, 2 beat 1, 190, 2 beat 1, and at 215, 1 won it, and at 285, 1 beat 2, and it was and then he also beat number 4, and they're all first period technical falls, if you can guess who that might have been.
Yeah. Might wear a red and black singlet.
Yeah. So what a field. What a lineup. Jeez.
I know it gets thrown around a lot sometimes when talking about strong tournaments, but to say this is a mini state tournament, yeah. I think would apply when you go off those final matchups.
Right. That's crazy, isn't it? Those numbers there.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's taking into consideration that Southeast Polk was down in Clinton, you know. So, you know, to throw them in, right. that is the state tournament, probably tougher than the state tournament.
And of course, people should remind them too that Ed Winger was the longtime voice of the state tournament. You know, people would certainly recognize his voice, and of course, the Urbandale tournament named in his honor, the late announcer at the state tournament.
And his words are still echoed. Rustlers, clear the mats.
Clear the mats. Yep. And I don't know why one, listening to him call off the state medalists, when he used to say Tama, South Tama County, for some reason that always stuck with me. I don't know why. Yeah. I have no clue. But yeah, certain things like that. But his voice, I mean, boy, if there's anything that is associated with a certain event, it's Ed Winger's voice with the state tournament, especially at, you know, well, at Veterans Memorial Auditorium.
Right. And also a shout out to his predecessor, who's not with us any longer, but John Bubba Randall.
Yeah.
Did a great job as well in emulating him, and learned a lot from Ed, and pass it on. And then John passed it on as well. So.
Yeah. And Prairie's got a tournament named after John, like you said, John Bubba Randall's. The one thing about John that will always get me is how much joy that he had calling. It didn't matter what it was. He loved wrestling. Don't get me wrong. He loved wrestling. But whether it was football or basketball or whatever else, he got so much joy out of watching the athletes compete. And he had a smile on his face. And, you know, it was good for a laugh. And, you know, I think maybe sometimes that gets overlooked. What a good announcer and somebody that really supports high school athletes and what that kind of brings to the table. And those two certainly wrestling wise made a big impact, huh?
Absolutely. Yep. Miss them.
Is there anything else on the boys side that you want to mention from last week before we kind of switch over to the girls conference meets?
Nope, I think we're good. Got it.
Well, as we mentioned, you know, the girl, they've got regionals coming up this week. They had their conference tournaments last week, and of course, the MVC was at Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Got a new champ, new leader of the pack in the MVC, Iowa City Liberty, coming away with a team title, beating Cedar Falls by 9.5 points.
Right. A little bit of a surprise. I mean, I knew they were good, but to win that conference. But I think the conference is getting better, so it's getting more diversified. Where
parity.
There you go. Exactly. So you got a lot more teams and individuals that are competing and becoming champs, and that's going to make it tougher to win that tournament.
Yeah. We got to watch Liberty wrestle at Kennedy earlier this season. And, I mean – I think we were both pretty impressed with the way that they competed. Of course, they got titles from Taylor Kavan at 105. They had another finalist at 110. Caitlin Rao was a runner-up at 125. Evelyn Eggleston was the champ of 140. And then Peyton Van Dyke, who's pretty darn good, had Shona Emanuel. We watched her compete against Hempstead as well, two really good 155-pounders. But Van Dyke ended up finishing second there at 155. And then
here's an example you're going to mention. You're going to mention an example of that parity in that Liberty had two champs, Cedar Falls had two champs, and now I think you're going to hit Linmar next, right? And yep. They had three champs, so they are third and still had the most champs of anyone. So there's that parity that we were talking about.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Linmar's champs. The one you've got to point out right away, Katie Seary.
Mm-hmm.
At 115, she won her third MVC title. So she was dominant through the first three rounds with three pins, and then beat Lauren Witt. Of course, I think people know the Witt family from Cedar Falls in wrestling. Siri won that one 4-3. Might have been the first three-time conference champ on the girls' side. And of course, Lidmar also got titles from Chloe Adamson at 120, and then Brielle Park at 130. The Park family, Bryce and Braden, wrestled at Lidmar and at Co. And Brielle's 38-4 now this season. Had a pin and a tech fall in the finals over Cedar Falls' Destiny Hepner. So strong performance there from the Lions, especially Siri and Park.
Right. And then so first place team had two, second place team had two. So everyone had two down to the top six teams except, of course, Lindmar. And then Hempstead had the other one. So that's that parity we're talking about right there. And yeah. Cedar Rapids Prairie had two there, fourth at 200 points. Louisa Mead at 145, and then Emilia Reyes at 235 were their champions.
It's amazing just how this has grown so much. Just how strong the, especially that upper half now. Before it'd be like one or two teams, right? That you've kind of said, and now you can go as deep as 5, 6, 7 and get quality teams. So
this is a guess, but I would guess that Cedar Falls and or Prairie have won the title until this year.
So I think Cedar Falls was the one that that won it a year ago. And of course you can check out a feature from our Riley Cole at thegazette.com. As well from the MVC meet.
Other champs in the area, Ellie Casey for Western Dubuque was a 100-pound champ, and Ava Fobb at 170 champ. City High had champs in Eliza Mitchell, 125, and Shauna Emanuel at 155. And then the last champion was Bella Miller from Butte Campstead at 135. She beat Josephine Budadera from Jefferson at 135. And Kennedy had a runner-up in Meredith Comp at 140.
Awesome. The night before, we got to watch two nights before we watched West Delaware and Indy, boys and girls.
Did I say West Delaware?
But the girls... the girls wrestled in the WOMAC championships on Friday, the night before the MVC wrestled. South Tama came away with a team title there, 254 points. Mount Vernon was second at 177.5. Host Vinton Shelsburg was third at 153. I think coming into it, a lot of people expected South Tama just to have a little bit too much balance than everybody else in the field, and they kind of showed that. They had titles from 100-pounder Olivia Smith, and then at 140, it was Maylee Rucker who came away with a championship there as well. Autumn Ellsbury, I believe a two-time state champ for South Tama. She came away with a title at 170. Of course, big matchup in the finals with Gracie Pinkney from Mount Vernon, one of the top wrestlers at 170 as well. But Ellsbury came away with a 5-1 victory there. And then Kinley Jimenez also winning a title for South Tama. So just a little too much balance there from the Trojans. And they came away with the team title. want to point out 135, Chloe Sanders from Vinton-Shelsburg. She improved to 51-0. Of course, we mentioned she's the first female wrestler to reach 200 victories in her career. She won a title. She got a pin over Anna Arrear from West Delaware, who's 40-2 now. But she got Sanders with a third period fall over Arrear, who's a state finalist, and Sanders looking for her first state title this year.
I got to rough that match.
What was that?
I got to rough that match.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, down at West Branch. So got a nice win.
Oh, the 200 victory match.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. Raising hands in 200 times. You're out roughing your focus. You don't know what's. You're not paying attention to that. So it's a good match. She looked very.
Mentioned Marion had a champ as well. Josie Logan won the 130-pound title for the Wolves. That might be their first conference champ on the female side. She beat Celia Grip of Williamsburg 8-3 in the finals. So good for Marion.
Yeah.
And I believe that is the granddaughter of Bill Logan. He's a Gazette correspondent on the football side, does a lot of coverage for KMCH, football, baseball, and other sports up there. So congratulations to her. I'm sure Grandpa's pretty proud.
That's cool.
The Tri-Rivers conference tournament was also Friday. You know, that's a strong little conference when you figure who's all in it. And of course, East Buck, that's a team that for years it's been competitive with all the bigger schools, right? When there's just one class, East Buck could hang with them. They won it all with 126 over Lisbon, who had 101. North Lynn, their first year with a girls program of their own, they used to share with West Delaware. Now Brad Bridgewater is helping out on the girls' side, and they got third with 83 points there. So good competition up there for those teams in the Tri-Rivers. I'll just mention we have the regionals coming up this Friday. Anything else from Saturday before we kind of look at where everybody's heading to for the regional tournaments this Friday?
Nope.
So as we mentioned, we're only a week and a half. We're just a week from today out from the state tournament. That's next Thursday and Friday, the 5th and 6th at Extreme Arena in Coralville. The top two wrestlers at each weight in each class advance to the state tournament. So in Class 2A, Iowa City High will host their eight regionals. Iowa City High hosts Bettendorf, Clear Creek, Amana, Davenport West, Fort Madison, Linmar, Muscatine, Oskaloosa, Southeast Polk, and Western Dubuque. We have South Pima, who's actually in 2A, and they host Ballard, DeWitt Central, Gilbert, Indianola, Iowa City Liberty, who we just mentioned won the MVC. So you got the MVC and the WOMAC team champs in the same regional with Johnston, Marshalltown, North Polk, and Pleasant Valley as well. Independence, they'll host Ames, Cedar Falls, Clinton, Decorah, Iowa City West, Maquoketa, North Scott, Solon, and Waterloo West in their regional. And then some of our Metro teams head to Waverly Shell Rock, where you have Jefferson, Washington, Xavier heading up to Waverly with Dubuque Hempstead, Dubuque Senior, Grinnell, Marion, Mason City, and Newton. And then a couple area teams go to Nevada with Algona, Benton Community, who had a couple champs in Wolf and DeMoss, I believe, in the WAMAC tournament. Boone, Cedar Rapids, Kennedy heads there. Denison, Schleswig, Harlan, Nevada, Cedar Rapids, Prairie Valley, West Des Moines, and Webster City. So you've got Harlan to Webster City to, I guess, Cedar Rapids, Prairie. That's quite the triangle of coverage area. I guess you could even go as far north as Algona on that. Boy, that seems like a really odd and big region.
They're not, the union's not afraid to send the girls on the road, are they?
Jeez, they never have. Apparently not.
Can you help me with the numbers? So how many, there's obviously two divisions this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's how many regionals? Six?
Eight
per division. Eight. So there's, and then there's, are there 10 or 12 teams in each regional? It will depend on some. They'll be a little different.
Yeah, I think the average is about 10.
10, okay. So there's eight. Is it eight per 1A and 2A? So there's 16 regionals? Or is it four?
Say that again.
So in 1A, are there eight regionals or are there four?
Let me double check. I think there are eight. Yeah, there's eight.
Eight per division.
Yeah.
Per 1A and 2A. So
now, the numbers in 1A are a lot bigger.
Yeah, you got more schools, but not as many.
Right. You're looking at about 16 programs per regional there.
Right. We have to remember that these programs aren't going to be full. Very few of them will be. I'll have all 14 competitors, is my guess.
Right. So. 16. I think the one at Colfax Mingo has 18 teams.
Yeah.
I think that's on the high end, obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, so that makes sense. Okay. I'm just trying to get numbers. So it's not easy to qualify.
No.
And to do three from each regional?
Two from each region.
Ooh, even tougher. Ooh. Okay.
Yep. So you're going to have to earn it. That's for sure. Even adding a second class, it hasn't made it any easier.
Yep.
So just looking at mention the local hosts that we have in Class 1A, Midland. They'll host Bellevue, BGM, Comanche, Cascade, Waterloo, Columbus, Highland, Lisbon, Lone Tree, Mount Vernon, Northland, North Tama, Northeast, Tipton, Vinton-Shelsburg, West Branch, and Wilton. That'll be a really good one there with Mount Vernon and Vinton-Shelsburg, obviously some really tough individuals. At Williamsburg, you've got Alburnett, Anamosa, Baxter, BCLUW, Centerville, CPU, who, of course, is coached by a former Jayhawk.
Chloe Lloyd.
Chloe Clemens,
yep.
That won a Iowa Wrestling Coaches and Officials Association state title in the very first year, I think, that they had it. Don Bosco, Iowa Falls, Alden, Moravia, North Cedar, PCM, Pekin, Pleasantville, Washington, Iowa, West Delaware, who we got to watch a couple weeks ago, or just last week, sorry. West Marshall and Williamsburg. There are some others. The other hosts, and I won't list all the teams there, but Atlantic, Colfax Mingo, Crestwood, Denver, Western Christian, and Wapello. So, like we mentioned, the top two advance to the state tournament in each weight in each class. And that'll be the state tournament. February 5th and 6th at Extreme Arena. So that's, it's upon us.
Yep, that's for sure. It is.
We've got the, this week, we've got the conference tournaments, as we mentioned. Iowa City High hosts the MVC championships there. No need to run down the teams. I just want to get your feelings. I guess looking at the kind of what's transpired throughout the season, I think you're looking at Hempstead, Linmar, Iowa City West, Western Dubuque as being kind of the front runners down there at City High.
I would agree there. Yep. And I wouldn't say in any particular order there.
Right.
I mean, geez, all the teams have impressed me. Iowa City West was with their youth. It's just no, I don't know what, you don't know what to expect there. I think they can do really well, but you know, who knows? We'll see there. So, and then also throw in your other teams that are going to bring strong competitors, City High and you know, some others that are in there as well. But so it's going to be fun. Yeah.
It's interesting that you kind of mentioned that because there, you know, this is something that could go down to, it really could go down to those final matches. Mm-hmm. And you've got somebody where, no disrespect to Iowa City Liberty, they're probably not going to factor in, you know, maybe the top three teams. But you've got somebody like Landon Bell at 175 that could be facing somebody in the finals and certainly could make the difference in whether a team gets passed or not by winning. Right. You know what I mean? Same with City High. City High's got a few individuals that could factor in. You know, when you think they might get a title or two and keep somebody from getting a few extra points that could impact the team race.
Right. Yep. And it's not really, that's those Kirkville teams. It was kind of that second tier, I want to say, that maybe not, like you said, maybe not be in the title hunt, but they could be the spoilers or the bring happiness, depending on side of it you're on.
And of course, you can't forget Prairie either. Prairie's got, you know, we mentioned Connor Bestricki. And the day that he had last weekend at City High, Russell, outstanding. Then you've got Chase Watkinson, you know, Loudon Bloxham. Mm-hmm. You know, those are some guys that could score a good chunk of points for you.
Right. Yeah, it could be champs. So they might be in that. I mean, I don't know if they have the support staff to get up into that top 2-3 level, whatever.
Right. But
they're going to be right there, too.
You know, at Marion hosts the WAMAC tournament. You know, you've got a plethora of teams. You know, we've seen Independence and West Delaware battle it out already. You've got Mount Vernon that's going to factor into things. Clear Creek Amana with Kyle Fornes back. You know, they've got some really good individuals in some decent balance there. You know, Solon, we talked about their top guys at 106 and heavyweight, they might factor in a little bit. You always got Williamsburg in the mix, which could be a fun heavyweight final with Feuerbach and Greer, even though I think Feuerbach got the better of them already. But, you know, Benton Community's got some guys like Brady Patterson at 144. CPU, you know, Danny Small, their 215-pounders, had a great season so far. So, you know, they certainly could those individuals could have an impact on the team race, even if it's not for their own team.
Right. That's what makes it fun.
I know. The Tri-Rivers – you know, that one, I think Lisbon's pretty But I guess if Auburnette's still in it, I can't remember when the – I think Auburnette's already jumped over to the River Valley Conference right now. I should check with Linder there. But North Cedar will host the Tri-Rivers Conference Tournament this Saturday. And, yeah, Auburnette's already with the River Valley. It's kind of hard to keep the conferences straight sometimes with the changes. But Lisbon certainly kind of the leader of the pack there, even though Northland has wrestled well this season and made the regional duels, which we'll talk about here in a second. But the Tri-Rivers probably won for Lisbon to kind of do what how it sees fit. There's the lose, I guess I would say.
Yep.
Well, let's take a look at the regional duels. Those pairings were released earlier this week on Tuesday. And again, for anybody that doesn't know, it's the top 24 teams that make the regional dual field based on coaches committee. Iowa High School Athletic Association Rankings Committee.
Hey, KJ,
what was that?
I can add a little bit of information to that. So
okay.
I was talking to Blake Williams. He's on the board. So I guess here's how it works. And it was in between matches, so it was a very brief conversation. But anyway, they have the coaches do their voting, and then it goes to the board, and then the board takes a look at everything and sorts it out. And the board is a prize of a lot, at least a number of retired, newly retired coaches that are still, you know, kind of into the, that are still have a good finger on the pulse, so to speak.
And
that's how they can do that. And it's a good reason, because the coaches are so consumed and busy, they have a hard time digesting. It's a lot of times they'll maybe fall on it, look at someone's rankings and go, well, they know it better than I do. I'll just rate it that way. And so this is a real good way to do it. So, and Blake seemed happy to be on it. And each division has their own board or selection committee. So,
yeah.
So that's it, it's done very well there. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you.
Yep. So we'll just kind of go right down the line. Southeast Polk, and again, the hosts get a semifinal bye, and they'll face the winner for a trip of the semifinal for a trip to the state duels February 7th at the Extreme Arena in Coralville. But Southeast Polk will host number 23 Boone and number 24 Lewis Central, and then face the winner. Indianola hosts number 15 Fort Dodge, number 18 Johnston. Dowling, ranked third, hosts number 14 Waverly Shell Rock and Urbandale, number 20. Number 12 Ankeny and number 21 Ankeny Centennial will wrestle at number 4 Dallas Center Grimes. Waukee Northwest will host number 16 West Des Moines Valley and number 22 Waukee. Then our area teams, number 10 Linmar will face number 19 Cedar Rapids Prairie in a semifinal. The winner will get host number 6 Dubuque Hempstead. North Scott is ranked 13th. They'll face number 17 Bondurant Farrar, and the winner will wrestle number 7 Iowa City West, which is a host. And then Pleasant Valley, they'll face the winner of number 9 Bettendorf and number 11 Western Dubuque. The interesting thing about Iowa City West, and this kind of threw me for a loop when I looked into it. I even asked Nate Moore when the last time Iowa City West hosted a duel, and his response was long enough that I don't remember.
I do.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah. Let's see.
What year was it?
Probably 2015.
2014.
Yeah, we were up at Waverly Shell Rock in 15. You're right. So it was with us. So, yeah.
So, and that was the last year they actually qualified for the state duels.
They won it.
And now they finally get a host again. We talked about that young talent. You know, and they've got a mix of veterans like Alexander Pierce. Matthew Tron's been hurt. I don't know what his situation is right now, but you know, you've got the state qualifiers like Campbell Janis, who's ranked 10th, Charlie Barnhouse, to go along with those young, talented kids like Diego Roberti, Owen Cothey, Hugo Hughes at 120 has really come on well. And Blessed Woods at 157. He mentioned the heavyweight, Caden Stitt, who was really impressive. This could be the year Iowa City West gets back to the state duels in the first time since it's been in their backyard, pretty much.
Well, and you always look at that, the eighth site, which has the number 8 seed and the number 7 seed, those sites, and then just back your way up. Those are the best potential to have an upset happen. So, you know, Iowa City West is 7, but, you know, so that's a potential for an upset because you've got, you know, some stronger teams in your regional out there. And so, you know, that's a potential that it could be upset, but I don't know, especially if Tron's healthy. I don't see Iowa City getting beat there. I do look at the number 8 seed with Pleasant Valley, who gets Russell, Western Dubuque, and Bettendorf. So that's number 8, and they'll have tough to be region. Either 9 or 11. So that's the one that's going to be competitive in my mind and kind of keep an eye on there to see if Pleasant Valley can hold their seed. So
I'm also interested in the Hempstead site.
Yeah.
You know, Prairie and Linmar for years have had some battles, you know, especially with some of those, you know, the Blake Williams and Doug Stryker teams. But Linmar is ranked 10th, and I think they've got their best lineup going right now. It'll be interesting to see how things play out Saturday, kind of get a clearer picture. But I think it was Hempstead that came down and knocked off Linmar in a regional duel a year or two ago. Wonder if Linmar might bring that up, a little carrot in front of people that, hey, remember, this is our time to kind of flip the script and get a little revenge for that. Right. But I think it could have the makings, if they get by Prairie, to be a pretty good duel there. But Hempstead certainly really tough in the number 6 team in the field. And I don't really see too much out of that top 5. No. That leads me to think it wouldn't go according to rankings.
Right. And it's sad that we have 5 Valley schools that made the brackets here, made the regionals, and 3 of them wrestled each other. It's the only one. Right. So
that's true. You like to see it spread out a little bit. But
that's just the way it fell. Yep. The state kind of has a wonky way of, because you'll see in the next 2 brackets that you're not going to have in the 8th site, number 8, number 9, and number 11. It's going to be like some 20s and stuff. And so that's kind of that 3-8 site is a tough one.
So let's talk about the 2A then. We mentioned Decorah, the number 1 ranked team. They'll host number 14 North Fayette Valley and number 22 Anamosa. Clarion Goldfield Dawes is number 2. Decorah beat them actually earlier this year. But CGD will host number 19 Denver, number 20 Humboldt. Eddyville Blakesburg is the third ranked team. They have number 15 Burlington Notre Dame and number 21 Woodward Granger. We saw West Delaware at Independence last week. That went down to the final few matches, and West Delaware won, and they flipped in the rankings. So West Delaware from 5 to 4, Independence from 4 to 5, and West Delaware hosts number 16 Williamsburg and number 23 West Liberty. And I'm going to pause for a second here because I want to mention on Thursday night, Williamsburg coach Grant Eckenrod became the 2nd coach in Iowa history with 700 career duel wins. That's been split between his time at Williamsburg and when he started coaching at Mount Zion, Illinois. But he could reach 704 by the end of this season and have a shot at Brad Smith's record, which is actually 720 when you add in the 17 he had as the interim head coach for Clear Creek Amana last year, filling in for Kyle Fornes. So congratulations to Grant Eckenrod for reaching that milestone victory, 700 dual wins in his career, and a chance to maybe surpass Brad Smith next season.
Yep. Yep, I knew his dad well, and Jerry would be smiling for sure. Yep.
Independence, another group of Mustangs that are heading up there. That's Mount Vernon, ranked number 12. They face number 18, Wilton, who's up from 1A in the semifinal, and then Independence, ranked fifth, will face the winner there. Albernette, one of those other teams that have moved up from 1A, they're ranked sixth, and they'll host number 10, Assumption, and number 17, Solon. Sergeant Bluff Luton, they're number seven. They'll have number 11, Atlantic, and number 13, Glenwood. And then number 8, Algona. They'll have number 9, Osage, and number 24, Sioux Center. So that'll round out the 2A regional field. Anything really stand out to you there?
Well, I'm kind of looking at the West Delaware Independents to see, you know, if they were flipped, if there was a whole lot lost or gained, you know. So it looks to me like for West Delaware, they kind of picked up Williamsburg. Independents picked up Mount Vernon. So I mean, Mount Vernon probably is a little stronger than Williamsburg, but I don't know that there's much of a change there. But if they both win and everyone wins above them, that'll be a first-round meet, correct, at
right.
Schools. So we'll see that one again, potentially.
Yeah, and that was one that came down to, you know, that was just a couple points difference. And there are a couple matches there that could go the opposite way. Or maybe one without bonus points or a bonus point here or there that could be the difference. That would be a fun quarterfinal to watch. A nice shootout to open up the 2A bracket.
Right, exactly.
But right here, I know Osage is back up to 2A. I know that's that's a historically strong program. Maybe they give Algona a battle. But I just see the top 8 teams getting through, just looking at it on paper.
I would agree. Yep.
All right. We'll move on to 1A, number 1, Don Bosco. They'll host number 13, North Lynn, and number 24, South Central, Calhoun. That's another big area when you think of where South Central Calhoun is coming over here.
I don't even know where it is.
It's just a little north of Carroll.
Okay.
In Lake City, I believe. Lake City is the small town there.
Oh, I've been to Lake City. Yeah, everything but a lake. That's their sign of the town.
So they get they qualify for the regional duels, and their gift is having to go over to Don Bosco to face an upstart North Lynn team and then possibly get Don Bosco after that. So, but still, kudos for making it there. Jessup, they host their number 2. They've got South Winneshiek, which is ranked 12th, and number 21, Iowa Valley. Lake Mills is the third seed. And they have number 15, Central Springs, and number 2, Grettinger, Terrell, Ruthven, Ayrshire, GTRA for short. Number 4, Hinton, they host number 17, Westwood Sloan, and Boyden Hall Rock Valley, which is ranked 18th. Number 5, Woodbury Central, has number 14, Lawton Bronson, and number 23, Alta Aurelia. Number 6, Oakland Riverside, has number 11, Truro, I-35, and Earlham, which is ranked 19th. I think Earlham came over to Albernette a year or two ago for a regional duel. Now they're heading to Oakland Riverside. Logan Magnolia, ranked 7th. They've got number 10, West Sioux, and number 16, Nottoway Valley. And then Lisbon. Lisbon coming in as the eighth-ranked team. They'll get a host again. They've got number 9, Nashville Plainfield, and number 20, North Mahaska. So could be a hard-fought duel in that final if it's Lisbon and Nashville Plainfield.
Yeah, I just look at this field and I feel lost without Albernette and Wilton and Osage, I guess. Are they?
Yep.
And it just seems different. And with Lisbon down to 8, so and I'm having a hard time. I mean, obviously it's Don Bosco, and then everyone's wrestling for second. Right. It seems to be, but
and I'll even go a step further, where I think the 1 and 2 with Jessup. Yeah. I think as big of a gap as there is between Don Bosco and Jessup, there is that big of a gap between Jessup and Don Bosco. Jessup's really, really good. It's just, you know, right. You've got the unfortunate situation facing a juggernaut like Don Bosco.
Right. And I guess I was focusing on the gap between 1 and 2, and you're right. I think you're right there with 2. So maybe the battle's for 3.
Yeah. Yep. Any other general comments or anything from the regional duels? Those are Tuesday, all of them. The semifinal duels begin at 6 o'clock at the respective sites. Again, that's Tuesday, February 3rd. So a quick turnaround from regional duels to state duels on the Saturday after. But we're in that time of year.
Yeah. Well, I'll just end it with this. I know we're long on time, so I'll be quick. This is a short one. And if anyone's still listening, maybe they have a comment they can leave. But
I teed up with Briggs.
Yeah, my teed up with Briggs this week is why do people call a duel a match instead of a meet? See, a match to me is singular. A meet is plural. And I realize a meet can be singular, you know, therefore a match could fit, but it becomes confusing. Call it what it is. Call it a dual meet, not a dual match.
Right.
A dual match is that one match. So, you know, if you have a meet tonight, that consists of 10 or 14 matches. Are we all okay calling a meet a game? No. So why do we do that? Do we call competitors players? No, they're wrestlers. So, and another little tack on one, if you go to different parts of the country, they call it, instead of district, they call it districts, or they don't call it state, they call it states. So, you know, out in California, where we only have one state, they still call it states. And so that's my beef for the week is singular versus plural, dual meet, dual and a wrestling match. So there, let's get it straight, people.
So where do you sit on districts and states?
I will say district, and sometimes I'll sneak in districts because if you're talking multiple districts,
right,
you know. But state, there's only one state. I mean, I don't care if there's 3 levels. There's only one state.
And so we are in agreement.
So there we go. So on districts, I flip flop depending on how I'm using it in the
system. Using it. Yep. Yeah. No, we're on the same page as far as that goes. That's awesome. Okay.
There we go.
Cool. All right. So busy time of year. Obviously, a lot going on this week with the conference tournaments going on. Regionals for the girls to get that state field set. Regional duels next Tuesday, and of course we'll be able to talk about how that all played out and the state duels field next week on the Pitting Combination podcast. Thanks for watching. Make sure to check out all our content at thegazette.com, and go ahead, Coach, finish this off for our last one in January.
Let's keep wrestling on the move.